live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 23rd day of December 2025. I just found out moments ago that one of my heroes of the Christian faith when I was a new believer, Joel Niederhood, went home to be with the Lord that he served so faithfully for so long 4 weeks ago on December 2nd, 2025. He was 94 years of age and really blessed the body of Christ through radio, television, and through the books and articles that he had written. And not only a brilliant, biblically faithful, reformed brother in Christ, but also an extraordinarily humble man. I am glad that I had the opportunity to interview him while he was still among us on the planet Earth, and that he wrote a glowing commendation for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio after being interviewed, and he will surely be missed. Please continue to pray for the Niederhood family as they mourn the loss of this great man of God. Today we have on the program a longtime friend of mine. I've known him since the 1980s, and I am thrilled that after a long absence, he has returned to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to address a book that he wrote several years after the horrific tragedy now known as 9/11. I believe the largest loss of life at the hands of a foreign enemy on American soil in our history. And this book that he has written, I think, is more relevant today even than when he had first put pen to paper. I'm speaking of my friend David Dykstra, who is an author, a retired Reformed Baptist pastor, having had decades of experience in pastoral ministry in New Jersey and Texas. And today we're addressing the aforementioned book, Yearning to Breathe Free, Thoughts on Immigration, Islam, and Freedom. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, David Dykstra.
Good to be with you, Chris.
Well, Pastor David, and forgive me for calling you Pastor, I know that you're retired, but it's something that automatically comes from my tongue, knowing you for so long as a pastor. But this book that we are addressing today, what were the compelling factors that made you say, you know, I've got to write this book, the contents of which was stirring in your heart and mind after the aforementioned horrific tragedy of 9/11. If you could explain.
Well, you know, after 9/11, soon after 9/11, I began to really start thinking about our policies of immigration. You know, when you had 23 Saudis that abused our freedoms here in America to attack our country, I started thinking about Islam, and I started thinking about immigration. And there were, you know, from my general reading and from my reading of the Bible, I came to certain conclusions. And the two books from my general reading that really impacted me and caused me to start to write, believe it or not, were David McCullough's great biography of John Adams, and also Edmund Morris's great biography of Theodore Roosevelt, namely Theodore Rex. And from reading McCullough's biography of Adams, I came to the conclusion that we've been at war with radical Islam from the very beginning of our country. And then also from reading of Theodore Rex, I came to the conclusion that Teddy Roosevelt had immigration policies that were far wiser than the immigration policies that were being pursued by our country. So it was from my general reading of those two books after 9/11, and also from reading the scriptures. You know, just reading from the scriptures, I realized that the law of God spoke to the issue of immigration and assimilation in five ways. First of all, from the Old Testament, we learn that Israel had defined borders on all four points of the compass. Those borders were defined. You know, we can read about that in Numbers chapter 34. Secondly, within these borders, Israel was required to develop a distinct cultural identity, not like the other nations. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. And then thirdly, Israel had to respect the borders of other nations. Deuteronomy chapter 21. And then Israel distinguished between foreigners to be accepted and those that were to be rejected, as far as who they were going to welcome and who they weren't going to welcome. And, you know, we realize, for instance, you know, when we think about the fall of Solomon and that text that describes Solomon's fall and all the foreign wives that he married, that were identified as nations that Israel was to have nothing to do with. So Israel distinguished between foreigners that were allowed to become sojourners in the land and foreigners that were not allowed to become sojourners in the land. They were dangerous. And then the fifth thing, and most importantly, and this really applies to us today, is that Israel's law required assimilation of the sojourner. They had to assimilate to the culture of Israel. I mean, we read about that, for instance, even in the fourth commandment, that the Sabbath law applied even to the sojourner who stays with you. And then also in the scriptures, we read that there was one law for the native and for the stranger or for the sojourner. Numbers chapter 15, verse 16 and verse 29. One law. In other words, in Israel, there was no tossed salad approach where you had competing civilizations within the nation. There was one law for the Israelite and for the sojourner who was within the nation. You know, and this is the distinction between our country as a melting pot or our country as, you know, a tossed salad. You know, what do I mean by that? Well, remember that Our country has long been likened to a melting pot. But, you know, that pot has a structure to it. And what is the melting pot of America? Well, it's our way of life. It's our rule of law. It's our constitution. We have many men who have said over the years that that America has it's defined. G.K. Chesterton once said this. He said, "Even that metaphor of a melting pot implies that the pot itself is of a certain shape and a certain substance, a pretty solid substance. The melting pot must not melt. And the original shape was traced on the lines of Jeffersonian democracy. America invites all men to become citizen, but it implies the dogma that there is such a thing as citizenship." And so now we've come to the point in America today, over the last number of decades, where instead of, you know, the melting pot of American civilization, which is defined, we've got more of a tossed salad approach, where in a tossed salad, you know, the lettuce stays lettuce and the peppers stay peppers and the onions stay onions. And so we have this as the effect of multiculturalism, you know, that is not something that we see from the pages of Scripture. One law for the native and for the sojourner within Israel. And of course, now throughout the Western nations, we see all kinds of absurdity. You know, 85 some Sharia courts in the UK operating now, where the government says that, yes, Sharia courts can have a place in our country. And this is something that, you know, is just going to lead to further decline among the Western nations. And we're seeing it here in the United States as well. The demand for these things, whether it's in Houston or in Dearborn or in Milwaukee, we see these things taking place.
I just wanted to read some of the texts that leftists and those who believe in very liberal immigration policies, even to the point of desiring no borders at all, these are the areas where leftists, who no doubt do not believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, but they love to find scriptures that in their minds make folks like us, evangelical, Bible-believing Christians who believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, they try to make us look foolish, like hypocrites, like we don't even know our own Bible, etc. But they love to bring up texts just like were brought up at a recent borough council meeting here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, where there was a vote taken to officially make Carlisle, Pennsylvania a sanctuary city. And one gentleman who got up claiming that he had theological training, and I don't know if he was a minister in a liberal denomination or perhaps just an apostate who fell away from the faith, I don't know. But he would bring up texts, even texts that you include in your book, like Exodus 22, 21, "You shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." In Exodus 23, 9, "You shall not oppress a stranger, since you yourselves know the feelings of a stranger for you also were strangers in the land of Egypt. Deuteronomy 24, 14, 15, and 17. You shall not oppress a hired servant who is poor and needy, whether he is one of your countrymen or one of your aliens who is in your land, in your towns. You shall give him his wages on his day before the sun sets, for he is poor and sets his heart on it, so that he will not cry against you to the Lord and it becomes sin in you. You shall not pervert the justice due an alien or an orphan, nor take a widow's garment in pledge. And there are other texts as well that leftists love to recite, along with when they're trying to promote socialism. They'll love to go to Acts 2, 44 through 45. And all the believers were together and had all things in common, and they would sell their property and possessions and share them with all to the extent that anyone had need. Of course, that text doesn't say anything about a government imposing a law that would force people to do this. But what do you have to say, and of course you do say have something to say about this in your book, about those favorite texts of those who want completely open borders?
Well, of course, I acknowledge all those texts. And America brings in, over 1 million people a year legally into the United States. And so I acknowledge all those texts. Those are texts that apply to us. But nevertheless, the previous points that I made refute the idea of no borders. Israel had defined borders. Israel was taught not to violate the borders of other nations. Israel had one law within its borders that all the sojourners had to abide by. In other words, assimilation was required. And we have many examples of foreigners who came into Israel and became Israelites. You know, in one of the most important books, I think, that Christians can read today to understand this is O. Palmer Robertson's book, The Israel of God. Anybody could become an Israelite. It wasn't a matter of blood. And so you could come into Israel, and as long as you assimilated, you became an Israelite. We read in the book of Ruth, that great statement where Ruth says to Naomi, you know, where you go, I will go, where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall become my God. You know, we think of Rahab as well. And so anybody could become an Israelite, but assimilation was required. They weren't allowed to come within Israel and have their own competing civilization, which is what we're seeing throughout the West right now. Competing civilizations, within Western nations. And this is something that you don't see in the Bible at all. And it's foolish. It's absolutely foolish to allow this. And this is why, you know, we have to require, people who come into the United States to assimilate to our culture, and that's something that is, I got when I read Theodore Rex by Edmund Morris. This is what Teddy Roosevelt said. In his day, he said, "We welcome every honest immigrant, no matter from what country he comes, provided only that he leaves off his former nationality and remains neither Celt nor Saxon, neither Frenchman or German, but becomes an American, desirous of fulfilling in good faith the duties of American citizenship." And that's exactly what Israel had. They distinguished between foreigners that were to be welcomed and those that were proved to be a danger to the country that they were not to have anything to do with. But assimilation was required. You know, because they had one law that governed the citizen and the sojourner who stayed with them. You know, and when Roosevelt said, "We welcome every honest immigrant," how does that apply to our situation today? I mean, if you owned a store and somebody came in and they stole something from the store, you would deem them to be a thief. They would be dishonest. And so how about people who enter a country illegally? We are to deem them not to be honest people. They didn't come in the correct way. From the very beginning, coming into the country illegally, they become felons in violating federal law. And so when Roosevelt says, "We welcome every honest immigrant, no matter from what country he comes." And so we've had, you know, decades in previous administrations of a completely open border by people who hate borders that have allowed in, you know, people that have proven to be a detriment to our country. Criminals coming in. And now we're getting it back under control. And actually, we're conforming more and more right now to what the scriptures teach about this, having clearly defined borders, distinguishing between people who ought to come in and people who would be dangerous to allow in, and requiring one law for the people who come in, namely our Constitution and our rule of law in America, disallowing any competing civilization and their set of laws, like we see happening through in Texas, in Minneapolis, in the UK. You know, the very idea of Sharia courts being allowed. I mean, way back in 2003, even Banner of Truth magazine had an article on the Islamization of Europe. And even back in 2003, they were decrying the presence of Sharia courts. And that should be something that every Christian opposes today.
Now, the title of your book, the first sentence of your title, obviously, "Yearning to Breathe Free?" Thoughts on Immigration, Islam, and Freedom. Obviously, the first sentence comes from the Emma Lazarus poem, which is etched on the plaque on the pedestal of the Statue of Liberty, which says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." And the leftist will obviously throw this in our face, too, if we are patriots, saying that we're being hypocritical by ignoring this hallowed poem at the base of the Statue of Liberty. And why did you use that phrase, "yearning to breathe free?" In the very title of your book?
Well, I mean, that's a great poem, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
We welcome those who seek freedom, but we ought not to be welcoming people who seek to overthrow our system. They're not coming into America to pursue freedom. They're coming into America with their own agenda. And with radical Islam, they're their approach has always been, I mean, it's easy to see, you know, infiltrate, procreate, and dominate. And that's exactly what we see. Whenever they get to sufficient numbers, they begin to dominate. They begin to make demands of people. And they begin to make demands of whole cities. When people pay attention to what's going on in Texas right now, with imams going to different stores and telling them what they can and cannot sell, and that you know, these store owners then are being threatened. And this is always the way it has been. Wherever Islam has spread, it's always infiltrate, procreate, and then dominate. And when we think of the declining birth rates in Western Europe, you know, where, for instance, I think in the UK right now, you know, their birth rate of UK citizens is, you know, it they don't even replace themselves. Yeah, it's so low. But among the Islamic population, you know, the birth rates are far, far higher. And this is why the president has turned attention to Europe and said, listen, in 20 years, we might not recognize you. You know, it may be too late. You know, one of the things that people need to read, and it's only pamphlet size, for crying out loud, it's only 29 pages long, and that's the National Security Strategy of the United States of America, published in 2025, just in November, last month. And one of the things that the security strategy of America right now is pointing out is that Europe is facing civilizational erasure. This is the phrase that's used in the national security strategy. And what they're talking about here is just the declining birth rate of Europeans, of European countries, the increasing birth rate of the refugees that they've allowed in, and the ultimate civilizational erasure of Western European countries. And this is a wonderful document to read. It's only 29 pages long. And when I read it, you know, I said to myself, you know, this is what Yearning to Breathe Free was all about. This is what Yearning to Breathe Free was all about, that there has to be, you know, warnings given as to what's going to happen if we allow unchecked immigration, imprudent immigration, if we give in to those that don't want any borders, and if we give in to multiculturalism. And we ought not to give into it. I remember a great statement by Thomas Sowell where he said, what multiculturalism boils down to is that you can praise any culture in the world except Western culture. And you cannot blame any culture in the world except Western culture. and that's multiculturalism, isn't it?
Yes.
That's the toss salad approach that doesn't believe that any culture is in any way superior to any other culture.
Right. And we're going to pick up right where you left off after we return from our first commercial break. If anybody would like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We're going to be right back, right after these messages from our sponsors, with more of Dave Dykstra and his book, Yearning to Breathe Free.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management. When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique Christmas gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. And look for their upcoming Cyber Monday sales. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's LynbrookBaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guest today on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is David Dykstra, the author of Yearning to Breathe Free, Thoughts on Immigration, Islam, and Freedom. If you have questions, send them to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. But we do have some questions already coming in. And before I go to any of them, I'd like you to tell our listeners how the popularity of this book when it was first published, or not long afterward, really caught fire, as it were, and word began to spread, and this book became a very large seller at one point.
Well, I was very surprised. You know, here I was, just a country pastor of a small church, you know, in New Jersey, and you know, I had written this book, and I was in my study at home one morning when, to my great surprise, I got an email from Marvin Olasky from World Magazine. And it turns out that he read the book. He read a number of books while he was on his treadmill. And he read the book, and he contacted me and said, listen, we want to do an interview with you about your book. Would you be willing to answer several questions for us? And so he sent me that a number of questions, and I took a morning to answer those questions. And I got a short email back from him that just said, excellent, send a picture. And tell us how many copies of World Magazine you would like to give to your family. So that was in October of 2006, and the article in World Magazine, it was a two-page spread. The title of the article was "Cougars Among the Flock."
Huh.
And of course, that was the imagery that, you know, in allowing through improper immigration policies, enemies to our culture, we were allowing cougars among the flock or wolves among the flock. And so that's how it spread. It was through that article in World Magazine. And of course, after that, I had a number of talk shows that invited me on. In fact, one of the most significant was when Dr. D. James Kennedy of Coral Ridge Presbyterian down in Florida interviewed me, having read the book. And I was one of the last ones that he interviewed before he passed away.
Wow.
And so Coral Ridge Presbyterian, I believe they ordered 400 copies of the book.
Wow.
And they gave it out to anybody who sent in a donation to their ministry that particular month. So word started to spread primarily through the article that I had in World Magazine. I was contacted by a number of people that I hadn't seen in years because of that article.
Praise God. Well, we do have, let's see, we have Giacomo in Bossier City, Louisiana. And I hope I'm not mispronouncing the name of that.
Bossier City.
Oh, Bossier. Okay.
Bossier City.
Glad that you were there to correct me. Giacomo says, I have a hunch you are not intending to sound racist when you are opposing multiculturalism. Perhaps you should explain to the listeners how you are differentiating multiculturalism from multi-ethnicity.
You know, I'm a member of a church that has members from probably over a dozen countries and of all races. Well, when we speak of multiculturalism really is it's a leftist idea that says you can never say that one culture is superior to another culture. Now, that's not saying that, and when we oppose multiculturalism, we're not opposing other races. We're simply saying that there are cultures that are just better than other cultures, and you can see that in just by examining them. I mean, if you go to Afghanistan for instance, and you find a culture that accepts pederast rape of children and views women as mere chattel, you have to say that a culture that doesn't accept pederast rape of children and doesn't view women as chattel, you have to come to the conclusion that culture that does not accept those things is superior to that culture that does. And so this is not a racial thing at all. But I don't think that Christians in the West should ever be embarrassed by saying that Western culture, largely developed from Christian roots, has produced more freedom and more prosperity for people than any other culture. And so it's not a racial thing at all. It's just be discerning.
Now, how do you explain, I don't even know if you can, because it is bizarre, but you have this phenomenon where leftist politicians will claim an identity with Islam. They will claim to be Muslims, and yet they are believing in and promoting things that if they were living under Sharia law would have them executed. They are promoting homosexuality, transgenderism, and every other abomination associated with leftism, and yet still attempt to maintain an Islamic identity. How do you explain that?
Well, I mean, how do you explain that? There, you know, it's so contradictory that there is no explanation for that. You know, one of the things that I want to come back to, if I may, and that is the, you know, in reading McCullough's biography of John Adams, we've been at war with radical Islam from the very beginning of our nation.
The founding of the Marine Corps came from that, didn't it?
Well, yeah, this is how it happened historically. You know, our founding document, of course, is the Declaration of Independence. But our first governing document was the Articles of Confederation. The second and lasting, you know, governing document, of course, is the U.S. Constitution. But under the Articles of Confederation, the states were not allowed to have a navy. It was disallowed to have a national navy. And in the arguments for the development of the Constitution, one of the things that Washington and others argued is, listen, these problems that we have with Muslims in the Mediterranean require us to have a national navy. And that was one of the arguments for the development of the U.S. Constitution. Now, what was happening in the Mediterranean? Well, what was happening, of course, was for centuries, Islamic raiders were going into Europe as far away as Ireland, and they were capturing Europeans, largely Christian Europeans, and enslaving them. And then, and these were from the North African states. And, you know, when you read the biography of John Adams, you soon come to the realization that our founders were dealing with radical Islam from the very beginning. And our Navy and Marine Corps came into existence to stop the preying upon our merchant ships in the Mediterranean and the eastern coasts of Africa. You know, we think of the Marine Corps hymn, you know, from the halls of Montezuma to what? To the shores of Tripoli, right? And for a long time, we were paying money, exorbitant amounts of money, to just pay them off so that we could have free trade in the Mediterranean without them capturing our merchant ships and enslaving our crew members. But this used to happen throughout all, you know, throughout Europe. Communities would be invaded in Italy and Sicily, Sardinia, Greece, by these Muslim raiders from the Ottoman Empire. And this went on for a long time until we put a stop to it with our Navy. But people are not taught history anymore. They don't realize that we've been fighting radical Islam from the very beginning of our country, and even into the 19th century. I mean, you know, when you read, for instance, Mark Twain, and he has this wonderful book called The Innocents Abroad. You know, it's nonfiction, and it describes his visit to the Middle East at the end of the 19th century. And what did he observe? Well, he observed the way the Ottoman Empire was treating non-Muslims. And what did Twain say in The Innocents Abroad? It's very funny. I'll read it to you. He said, "If ever an oppressed race existed, It is this one we see fettered around us under the inhuman tyranny of the Ottoman Empire. Now, here's his funny line. He says, I wish Europe would let Russia annihilate Turkey a little. not much, but enough to make it difficult to find the place again without a divining rod or a diving bell. So, you know, what was he observing? Well, you know, I mean, in 1876, the Ottomans, the Muslims, you know, they massacred Bulgarians. And then, you know, there's the, you know, the jihad genocide of the Armenians by the Ottoman Turks that followed that. So this is something that Americans are not taught. That from the very founding of our country, we've been involved in with radical Islam and fighting radical Islam. Now, thankfully, we're making a turn in America today. You know, for instance, our Director of National Intelligence last week, Tulsi Gabbard. What did she do at the Turning Point conference? She said that the most difficult thing we're facing today is the problem of Islamism. And she was open about that. What's our Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, doing right now? Well, he's applying our president's national security strategy, and he's identifying the danger of Islamism that is made great strides in Europe and also in the UK. And, you know, and there's another aspect of this, and it comes back to the civil magistrate, doesn't it? You know, what do our confessions of faith say with regard to the civil magistrate and the basic duties of the civil magistrate? Well, you know, our Second London Confession of Faith for we Reformed Baptists says this: it's lawful for Christians to accept and execute the office of a magistrate when called thereunto, in the management whereof, as they ought especially to maintain justice and peace according to the wholesome laws of each kingdom and commonwealth, so for that end they may lawfully now under the New Testament wage war upon just and necessary occasions. And the Westminster Confession says the same thing in chapter 23 and paragraph 2. So what does that teach? What do Reformed Christians believe? Well, we believe that Christians can be involved in politics, that Christians can become civil magistrates. Well, when we go from that to step two, and we ask the question, what does our Bible teach about the most basic function of the civil magistrate? What is the most basic function of the civil magistrate? Well, when we read the classic passages, Romans 13, 1 through 7, 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, you know, what do we pray for when we pray for our civil magistrates? Well, that we might lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity, right? What's the function of the civil magistrate? The function of the civil magistrate is to punish the evildoer and reward the good. And so on the basis of that, we can evaluate governments, whether it be domestic city governments or governments of other nations. And we can ask the question, are they fulfilling their basic responsibilities to their citizens to provide peace? And when we do that, we can name all kinds of cities in America where we can say these mayors are not fulfilling their duty, because their cities are full of crime. and these mayors ought to be replaced. We can speak of judges who allow criminals to go back on the streets to commit new crimes. And we can say these judges are not fulfilling the requirements of the civil magistrate, and they must be replaced. And then we can look at whole governments, and we can look at the immigration policies in other countries, and we can say, look what you've done. Look what you have done with allowing mass migration of people absolutely foreign to your civilizational order and who come in not with a desire to assimilate to your culture, but with a desire to replace your culture. We can say of those, we can ask of those governments, what have you done? And we can pray that those governments would be replaced by people who would understand the basic function of the civil magistrate. And, you know, and thankfully there's bright news happening today. You know, increasingly throughout Europe right now, there's a development of populism that is opposed to what these leaders in these countries have allowed to happen. And it's very encouraging to see at least 10 countries in Europe right now that are taking real steps to combat Islamism within their own countries. Now, when they do that, of course, the left accuses them of being far right. But we have to just accept those accusations. It's not being far right. It's just that we want to see countries in peace, and we don't want to see people coming into the countries that are not interested in assimilation, but only interested in developing a worldwide caliphate. Under Sharia, you know, what's the safest country in Europe right now? What's the one country in Europe right now that hasn't had one terrorist attack?
I don't know.
You know what it is?
No.
Huh?
No.
Poland.
Really?
Yeah, Poland.
That's where half of my ancestry comes from.
Not one terrorist attack in Poland. Now, how did that come to be? Well, they had a border fence. And when one of their soldiers was manning the border fence, he was speared to death by a North African immigrant, a Muslim. And so what did the government do? Well, they made it very plain that anything happens like that, we're going to use lethal force against you. And they've not allowed in those who don't want to assimilate. And as a result of that, they haven't had one terrorist attack. And we can think of other countries that are taking steps in this direction. Now, what they're doing, of course, is they're looking at the United States and what we're doing here in the United States. And they're slowly coming around to the fact that they have to take these steps if they're going to preserve their own cultures. And so when we think of Italy right now, when we think of a whole host of nations right now, Croatia, Czechoslovakia, Finland, Hungary, Sweden, Slovakia, Germany, Greece, Italy, the Netherlands, they're all beginning to take steps, recognizing the danger they face from Islamism, and this is encouraging. And of course, the president's security strategy has been a real shot across their bow right now, saying if you don't get this under control in 20 years, you might not have a country anymore. And how can we rely upon you as allies if you allow this civilizational erasure, which is the phrase that is being used? And so, you know, one of the things that that has happened because of leftist influence is this suicidal empathy, having empathy for people to the point that you allow people within your country that do not want to assimilate. Now, of course, the Emma Lazarus poem is wonderful. We should welcome anybody who yearns to breathe free of any race or any culture that wants to come to America, that yearns to leave, you know, the slavery behind and wants to be free. They should all, of course, be welcomed into our country, but we should not be allowing into our country those who refuse to be assimilated and who come in with another agenda, and that is to develop a worldwide caliphate under Sharia law.
Well, we have to go to another commercial break. It's our midway break, and once again, if you have a question for David Dykstra about immigration, Islam, and freedom, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. And before I forget, to tell Giacomo in Bossier, Louisiana, is that how you pronounced it, Pastor Dykes?
Bossier City.
Bossier City, right. Please give us your full mailing address so that we can mail you a free copy of the book that we have been discussing, Yearning to Breathe Free, Thoughts on Immigration, Islam, and Freedom. Compliments of our friends at Solid Ground Christian Books. And if you want to find out more about what they have to offer, go to solid-ground-books.com. Solid-ground-books.com. Thank you very much, Giacomo, and we have more folks waiting to have their questions asked and answered, so we'll get to as many of you as possible. We'll be right back after these messages. Please do not go away.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
And Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers morning meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they provide for us financial support automatically every single month, but on top of that, RoyalDiadem.com gives Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase their jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com. So whether you're purchasing jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created. And just for an idea, if you ever want to give a pastor or somebody who runs a parachurch ministry, or perhaps even somebody who owns and operates a business, and you want to take their logo and turn it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring or other piece of jewelry, they are absolute masters at customizing jewelry. So whether you're purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone you love, or purchasing what they have in stock or having something customized, If you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we get 100% of the profits from that sale. Go to royaldiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my absolutely fascinating conversation with David Dykstra about his book, Yearning to Breathe Free, Thoughts on Immigration, Islam, and Freedom, I just have some reminders for you. Please, folks, if you really love this show and you don't want it to go off the air, we urge you to please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. And if you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check to a physical mailing address from your post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your business, your private practice like a law firm, a medical firm, or your church or your parachurch organization, or maybe it's just a special event you want to promote, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please, if you're interested in advertising, send us an email at chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Keep in mind, folks, as urgently as we need your financial help, I never want anybody in my audience to give their own church where you're a member less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a financial gift. Please never do that. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a financial gift. However, having said that, if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, or even trivial purposes, please, if you love the show, share some of that money with us at ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live in the world, I may be able to help you find a church that's biblically faithful, as I have done with many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience spanning the globe. Sometimes I've helped listeners find churches that are biblically faithful minutes from where they live. So that may be you too. No matter where you live in the world, if you are without a biblically faithful church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, "I need a church," in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to David Dykstra as we continue to discuss his book, Yearning to Breathe Free, Thoughts on Immigration, Islam, and Freedom. And we have a listener named Terry in Amagansett, Long Island, New York. And Terry says, "How would you envision a government prohibiting Muslims from becoming citizens of our country when there are many different kinds of Muslims, just like there are many different kinds of people who claim to be Christian? Some are not, and some are just different from us. So how would you go about doing this, at least in your vision?"
Well, I certainly don't have a vision of disallowing Muslims to become citizens. I don't have that vision at all. Muslims ought to be allowed to become citizens of the United States. The only caveat to that is that they need to leave Islamism behind. They cannot embrace radical Islam. That goal is to overthrow our country and replace it with an Islamic caliphate. Now, there are many, many Muslims in America that do not live up to the tenets of Islam. Islam has never been a religion of peace. It's been a totalitarian ideology that is intent on conquering and causing people to embrace Sharia law. They divide the whole world into two two parts, the house of war and the house of peace. And we are in, any non-Muslim is part of the house of war. And it's the function to bring them into the house of peace, that is to bring them into Islam, where they're submissive to Sharia law. That's Islam. That's the basic tenets of Islam. Now, there are many Muslims that don't believe that they don't abide by the tenets of Islam when it comes to that totalitarian mindset. And of course, if we find out that people are willing to recognize that in our country there's one law, and they must assimilate, they can become citizens, like anybody else can become citizens. But I've never advocated limiting citizenship to only non-Muslims. I hope that's very, very clear.
So are you saying then that Muslims who you envision as being welcomed as immigrants, legal immigrants into our country to establish citizenship, would have to be in some realm or some level nominal Muslims? Because if you're saying that honest Orthodox Islam, according to the Quran and the Hadith, mentions these things that you just did about conquering and setting up and establishing Sharia law to persecute others, how else could we include Muslims as those we welcome, unless they're nominal of some kind?
Yeah, and there has to be ideological exclusion. I mean, when G.K. Chesterton came to America for the first time, he was asked if he was an anarchist. Why was he asked that question? Well, because anarchist back in the early 20th century had assassinated our president, one of our presidents. And in the early 20th century, you know, they were the equivalent of what is Antifa today throughout the world. And so when Chesterton came to America for the first time, he was asked, are you an anarchist? Well, the question was asked of him, because we were practicing ideological exclusion, and we don't want anarchists in America. I mean, who would want an anarchist in America, an absolute nihilist who wants to overthrow authority here in America? We see enough of that in Portland. We see enough of that in Seattle. We can look and we can observe and we can see where these things lead to. So in Roosevelt's time, there was the practice of ideological exclusion. And what we see right now under the current administration is a welcome return to that. When we have our Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, for instance, making it very, very plain that student visas are not a right for people to have. And we're going to question you, and we're going to look into your social media, what you post on social media. And if we find out that you're posting things on social media that are radical, we're not going to give you a student visa. Or if when you come into the United States and we find out that you're taking part in demonstrations calling to globalize the Intifada, we're going to revoke your student visa and send you out of the country. Now, all these things are just prudent, and all these things are biblical in the sense that, again and again, I go back to this, Israel had defined borders. Israel had one law that applied to the Israelite and to the sojourner. There was not competing civilizations allowed within Israel. And what we're seeing now, of course, is a return to that. And one of the problems that we have, of course, with the temporary protective status of people who have been allowed into the country, we've allowed many people who have not been adequately vetted. We don't know who they are, because many of them come from countries where it's impossible to vet them. In order to vet people, you have to have information. And if you don't have the information, how can people be adequately vetted? And you know, why should we allow people into the country that will pose a clear and present danger to the country? We should be allowing in people whom we can vet, and people that we are convinced are going to assimilate, and not allow in people who are intent on non-assimilation and just using our country to develop their own cultural enclaves within our culture, like we're seeing in Dearborn, Michigan, like we're seeing in Houston, Texas, like we're seeing in Milwaukee, where people openly, you know, declare that they don't want to assimilate. And thankfully, we're seeing through the president's strategic strategy and the implementation of that strategy by our Secretary of State, we're seeing a welcome return to sane immigration policy in America that truly welcomes people who want to be here and who do yearn to breathe free, but that has standards that have to be met for them to be welcomed.
Well, thank you, Terry, for the excellent question. Please make sure you give us your full mailing address in Amagansett, Long Island, and we will have a free copy shipped out to you of Yearning to Breathe Free, Thoughts on Immigration, Islam, and Freedom, Compliments of the Generosity of Solid Ground Christian Books, solid-ground-books.com. And we have Ernie in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Hi, Chris. What does Pastor Dykstra think about Reformed church elders participating in the church outreach and support of Muslims that, while taking part in English as a second language, etc., provided by the church, continue to attend mosques under the teaching of his imams? I know of an elder who said he would have no problem and driving them to their Islamic service.
First of all, it's not Lancaster, all right?
Well, New Yorkers pronounce it that way, sorry.
Yeah. It's Lancaster.
Right.
Okay.
And even Carlisle is not pronounced Carlisle or by natives. It's Carlisle.
It's Lancaster. And, you know, I struggle with that question. You know, would I drive someone, to a mosque? I'd want to learn a little bit more about that mosque. You know, we have countries in Europe right now. Italy comes to mind, that are deporting radical imams. They're not allowing them to stay because they're listening to what they preach. And they're deporting imams. It's not because they don't believe in freedom of religion. It's because they don't want in their country people that are trying to overthrow their culture. And before I ever drove anybody to a mosque, I would want to know what that imam is teaching at that mosque. And of course, the evangelization of Muslims require that we challenge their beliefs, that we eventually get around to letting them know that we believe that Muhammad is a false prophet. And, you know, and even think of this, Chris. You know, think about how the Apostle John corrects people with thoughts of Antichrist. What does he do? He's the only one in the New Testament in his epistles that speaks of specifically of Antichrist. You know, Paul speaks of the man of lawlessness, but he doesn't call him Antichrist. But what does the Apostle John do with his whole doctrine of Antichrist? Well, he comes with a corrective. And he says, you have heard that Antichrist is coming. But even now, Antichrist is in the world. So he wants his readers to know, stop thinking about the future with regard to Antichrist and think about the present. And then he also says, stop thinking about one Antichrist and think about the many Antichrists. Okay? Those are the two correctives that the Apostle John gives us about the subject of Antichrist. He wants us to think of the present. He doesn't want us to think about only one. He wants us to think about the many Antichrists. Now, when you pay attention to those texts in the epistles of John, you need to ask the question, what is one of the most virulent expressions of the spirit of Antichrist in the world today? Not the only one, but what is one of the most virulent expressions of Antichrist in the world today? And any sane Christian would have to say, Islam. Islam and its teachings. I don't know how you can come to any other conclusion than that. It's not the only one. Yeah, I know the Apostle John speaks of apostate Christians who they went out from us, but they were not really of us, because if they were of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out so that it may appear that they're not of us. In other words, they're not real Christians. You know, we think of anybody who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh as the being of the spirit of Antichrist. How can anybody deny, with the record of Islam, how can anybody deny that it is a modern-day expression, not just a modern-day, but going back centuries of the spirit of Antichrist in the world today? So would I drive a person that we're teaching English as a second language to a mosque? No, I wouldn't. Not unless I knew something about the imam and what the imam of that mosque is teaching people. And also, we would be trying to evangelize Muslims. And the only way you can really evangelize a Muslim is by challenging Islam itself and bringing them the gospel. Revealing that Muhammad is not a prophet. He's a false prophet.
By the way, Ernie, you have also won a free copy of Yearning to Breathe Free, Thoughts on Immigration, Islam, and Freedom. So make sure you give us your full mailing address in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, so that could be shipped out to you. Once again, we thank Solid Ground Christian Books for providing us with a limited number of free giveaway copies of this book. And if those of you who are listening to this program via a recording later on, other than the date of its live broadcast, go to solid-ground-books.com to find out more about this book and everything else they offer at Solid Ground Christian Books. That's solid-ground-books.com. Let's see here. We have Byron in Searcy, Arkansas. And Byron says, one of the things that makes the whole deal with policing Muslims who come into this country to see if they have ill will towards our system of government and way of life is the fact that there is a teaching called taqiyya among Muslims, where they are given the freedom to lie to those who are not Muslims to achieve their ends. How could we possibly know that anyone is telling the truth if they are a Muslim and entering into our country under false pretenses?
Well, of course, that is a real problem. That questioner has put his finger on a very important question, because that is a reality. Muslims are allowed to use deception in dealing with the House of War. And so that makes vetting something that's very, very important. You know, and you know, when we have, for instance, right now, you know, we've got many, many people that have come into America from Islamic countries. There has to be some sort of questioning. And yes, there are limitations. That's a very real problem that questioner has mentioned. I would encourage people to inform themselves about the whole subject. You know, there's some books I want to recommend for people other than mine. I really want to recommend Ayan Hirsi Ali's book, Infidel.
Hmm.
She's now become a Christian, but her book, Infidel, now she's a Somali, she went to the Netherlands, and in her book, Infidel, she exposed, Islam. She has to have protective, people around her 24/7. But that is a very, very important book, and you can listen to her in interviews and what have you. I'd also like to recommend Megan Basham's excellent book, Shepherds for Sale, and particularly Chapter 2 in Shepherds for Sale, entitled Illegal Immigration. And Megan Basham is a very, very fine investigative journalist. It just proves in this chapter how Soros-based money has been used to co-opt evangelical leaders on the subject of immigration, and how the left has taken control basically of many evangelical leaders in America on the subject of immigration. And she blows the whistle on that. And so this book, the subtitle is How Evangelical Leaders Traded the Truth for a Leftist Agenda. And it's very well written and very well argued. And that's a book that I would greatly recommend. I would also recommend The Myth of Islamic Tolerance by Robert Spencer. I'd also like to recommend The Legacy of Jihad by Andrew Boston. I can think of a number of books. I've got quite a selection of books in my library. on the subject. And I would just recommend that people inform themselves on it. You know, and one of the things that we need to listen to, at least, is we need to listen to our veterans. Our veterans who have served in Afghanistan and served in Iraq, and listen to their personal experiences and also read their books. And because they lived, you know, in Islamic cultures, and we should honor them by listening to them. What were their experiences, you know, when they were at a forward operating base in Afghanistan, close to the Pakistani border? What were their experiences with Afghanis? We need to listen to them, and we need to read their books about that. So anyway, those are some recommendations I would make for folks to.
Great. Well, we are going to our final break. And by the way, Byron, please give me your full mailing address in Searcy, Arkansas, so that you can also receive a free copy of Yearning to Breathe Free, Thoughts on Immigration, Islam, and Freedom by my guest, David Dykstra. Compliments of Solid Ground Christian Books, solid-ground-books.com. And if you have a question, I would submit it immediately because we are rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in His sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley. faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favourite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
And don't forget, folks, this program is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my very dear longtime friend and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please make sure you tell Dan Buttafuoco that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco and Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, folks, please do not forget, if you're a man in ministry leadership, you are invited to the biannual free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon, which will be held, God willing, on Thursday, March the 5th, 2026, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. And our featured guest speaker for the second time is Dr. Conrad Mbewe, one of my favorite preachers of all time. He is pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and founding chancellor of African Christian University. But not only is your admission free and your lunch free and your opportunity to hear Dr. Mbewe preach free, every man that attends, as always, will receive one and perhaps two heavy sacks of free brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. All of that absolutely free of charge if you attend. And again, this is for men and ministry leadership only. If you would like to register, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Also, let me not forget that the night before the luncheon, on Wednesday, March the 4th, Dr. Conrad Mbewe will also be preaching at the church where I'm a member, Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, at 7 p.m. And that, unlike the Pastor's Luncheon, is open to everyone, men, women, and children, are all welcome to that event on Wednesday, March the 4th, 7 p.m. at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. For more details on Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle and how to get there, go to trbccarlisle.org, trbccarlisle.org. And we have, I was just looking at name here of another listener. We have Todd in Fremont, Nebraska, who asks, where do we draw the line when it comes to any kind of prohibition of people to become citizens of the United States when there are many false religions and some who intend harm upon Christians and others like Hindus or even leftists who are already American citizens who believe in murdering unborn children? How can we possibly single out Muslims for this prohibition?
Well, I'm not singling out Muslims. You know, we're just talking about the reality that immigration policies of people coming into the United States should focus on people that would who want to be free and who would benefit the United States, and not to be people who would be intent on bringing our country down. Now, the main, why did Tulsi Gabbard bring up, for instance, last week at the Turning Point Conference, why did she single out Islamism? Why does Secretary Marco Rubio single out the specific danger of Islamism? Well, it's because that is the greatest danger in the world today that Europe is facing and that the United States is facing. And all I'm calling for, and all I have ever called for, is that we recognize that we can learn from the past. We can learn from previous generations who did a better job than previous administrations that we've had over the last number of decades when it comes to immigration. And we can learn from the scriptures. You know, we can learn principles of general equity, as our confessions put it, from the civil code of Israel. And so what do we learn? I go back to that. What do we learn? Israel, in other words, God designed borders. Borders are God's idea. Israel had clearly defined borders. Israel was not to violate the borders of neighboring nations. Within Israel, there was to be one law. The sojourner to live in Israel had to assimilate to Israel. Those are the foundational things that we learn from the scriptures. What is the role of the civil magistrate? It is to provide peace and tranquility to its people. The civil magistrate fails in that role when it allows into the country, whether they be anarchists or whether they be Islamists. The civil magistrate fails in its God-given role by allowing people into the country who are going to pose a danger to the country. Those are biblical things that we can build on, and thankfully we can see that there is a return to these things now. I would very much encourage everyone to read that 29-page national security strategy of the United States, and particularly the warning that is given to the European nations at this time, that they need to reverse course. And thankfully, many are paying attention to that. There is a growing number of people in Europe that are recognizing the danger and are taking action. Of course, there are others who are fighting this development of national populism. And so, you know, the United States did not rescue Europe in two world wars, First World War and Second World War, in order for European countries to imprison people on the basis of social media posts. And those are things that are happening today. To protect this mass migration, that these draconian laws are being passed, that you can never say anything negative about Islam. And if you do, you can go to prison. People going to prison in Britain right now. Because they dare to say something negative about the migrants that have come into the country, the Pakistani rape gangs that proliferate in Britain today, and the lack of freedom, the lack of freedom of speech, the lack of freedom of religion. Where even in Canada right now, where a law is being passed to make it illegal to read certain passages of scripture that people might find to be offensive to them. And yeah, the West needs to wake up to these things. And again, I go back to that. We did not rescue Europe in World War I and in World War II in order for people to be imprisoned today. Because of something that they posted on Facebook.
Well, I have had such a wonderful time interviewing you, brother. I look forward to your return to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Don't forget, folks, you can find out more about Yearning to Breathe Free, Thoughts on Immigration, Islam, and Freedom at the publisher's website, solid-ground-books.com. I want to thank everybody for listening today. I hope you all have a safe and joyful and healthy and Christ-honoring Christmas. And I want you all to remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.